This week, doctors in Louisville, Kentucky performed the world's first artificial heart implant using a device that is totally contained in the body. That means that unlike former artificial heart implant recipients, Barney Clark, Bill Schrader, this patient won't need to depend on a bulky external power supply. The patient is a middle-aged man whose name has not yet been disclosed. Dr. Robert Dowling is one of the doctors who performed the operation. How's the patient doing?
Well, he's doing remarkably well. We're really very, very pleased with his progress. Actually, we couldn't be happier with how he's doing. He's interactive with his nurses. He's undergoing physical therapy, communicating with his doctors, and we're very pleased.
There has been some confusion about the patient's likely prognosis. The company that makes this artificial heart says they expect only a month's additional life, but you have a colleague there, Dr. Gray, who said this week he's got a pact with the patient. He's going to teach him bass fishing. So yeah. What is a realistic expectation, Dr. Dowling?
Well, I think that statement from the company was misinterpreted. Anytime you have a clinical study or any research study, you have to have defined endpoints. So one of the endpoints that was defined here was that this patient was extremely unlikely to live for 30 days. So the FDA says, well, if you can show that you can double his life expectancy, that would be one check mark, one endpoint where we can say, well, that is our first success. But that's not our final goal. That's one of our goals along the way, to say that, okay, yes, his kidney function got better, his lungs got better, the device worked well, and we doubled his life expectancy by putting him on this device, and by doubling his life expectancy, we mean 60 days. But as clinicians and people, we didn't present this to him as we're going to put this in to let you live 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope his device works months and months or even years and years.
I'm sure that the issue is guarding against having expectations that are too high.
Yeah.
And here's one. It's always that pressure of time. How soon will we know whether this artificial heart is going to justify having a lot of human trials?
Well, I think we're taking it stepwise, and I think that's the right approach. The FDA has approved for 15 patients to receive the device, but it's going to be reviewed after the first five. I think that's entirely appropriate. If all the first five do wonderful, or more likely, the device works wonderful, but we may lose some patients just because we've chosen to pick only patients that are very ill, but the device works wonderful, then I think we can go ahead and take the next step and move on to from the first five patients to the whole 15 patients and then review it there. So, I think it's going to take us, months, a year or two to really sort out how practical this is going to be, how widely applicable it will be. Like any scientific endeavor, we have to go into it with an open mind. This particular generation of the artificial heart might not be the answer. Maybe we need to do some reiteration. Hopefully it is, but we don't know that yet.
If this first patient should continue to do well, what will be involved in maintaining him in terms of drugs, in terms of equipment?
He won't be on a lot of drugs, much fewer than he was before this. He'll just need to be on a blood thinner to prevent any blood clots from forming in the device. He may need to be on a blood pressure medication, to keep his blood pressure normal. He's running intermittently on the high side now and again, and maybe a baby aspirin, something like that, but not a lot of medications. And, he will need to be, either hooked up to a regular old electrical outlet or powered by the external battery packs. Now, intermittently, he can run on the internal battery to take a shower or so forth. He will need a fair amount of electrical equipment, and you'd want to have some backup equipment at home in case there was any problems. You can switch over to the backup equipment. But it won't be too burdensome for him.
If this patient continues to do well, what are the estimates then? How do you apply that information to the next candidate? Does it improve their chances by 20%, by 50%, by 80%?
Oh, hard to put a number on it. I think we learn from everything we do, and we will certainly learn a tremendous amount from having performed this operation and taking care of this patient. And a lot of that will be applicable to the second one. And what we learned from the first two will help us in the third. But whether it improves it by what percent, I'm not quite sure. Because each patient is so different. What worked for the first patient, we might try in the second patient to find out we need something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in general, certainly it will help to have some experience. And the more experience we have, the better off we'll be.
And is everyone with a heart condition a potential candidate for this artificial heart?
Oh, not at this point, and I don't even know in the future. I mean, there's still going to be conventional bypass surgery, valve surgery. I think this is just going to be something, we add to the things we can do to help patients in very terminal end-stage heart disease. the thing about that is that's a very large number, and it's continuing to grow each year.
Dr. Dowling, what does the artificial heart sound like?
Oh, it sounds wonderful. That's a very good question that no one has asked. My nurses that I'm around with always, even I took them over to the research lab to listen to it. It's just a beautiful kind of whirring, high-pitched whirring noise. And intermixed with that, you hear the valves very gently, very softly, opening and closing. It's really wonderful.
Thank you for that description. And thank you for talking with us, Dr. Robert Dowling of Jewish Hospital in Louisville.